Well, we're here. It's the first Sunday of Advent. For me, it's kind of funny because I spend so much time anticipating this time of anticipation. Anticipating anticipation. My favorite service all year, probably even more than Easter, is the Christmas Eve service we have in this room. There's so much joy in this room. There are so many people here who haven't seen each other in a long while, like maybe since Easter. People who are back together. There are the kids, There are the kids and the adults who are anticipating the next morning and the presents under the tree and Santa coming. If we're lucky, there's a crispness in the air. If we're really lucky, we might see snow flurries. And hopefully no ice. All that we can do is already done, or it's too late to do it now. And we all come together, and for just 1 hour, we stop and we worship this little baby born in a manger. But my favorite moment in that service is when we start to dim the lights and we sing the carols and we begin to pass the light one person to the next, to the next, to the next. Until everyone in this room is standing there holding their own light in this darkened room. It's my favorite moment of the year, sharing the light of Christmas. When we decided on a theme for this year, looking at the musical, and everything just fell into place. And I immediately thought about that moment on Christmas Eve when the whole Advent season will culminate in that beautiful moment. That moment when the electric lights are mostly off and this darkness is filled with individual light that has been passed from one to another. And the voices in the room will sing with praise for this little child who came into this world to give us that very light. But how do we get to that point? How do we get to that place where we can share light with the person standing next to us? The person who is still in darkness. This first Sunday of Advent is the Sunday of hope, sharing the light of hope. And while hope has been a little difficult for me this year, and I know a little difficult for some of you also, so many things in this world cause us to live in fear rather than hope. Fear of shootings, fear of natural disasters. In Austin, the fear of driving on our crazy roads. We've even moved into a time in our world that we fear things that in the past we've trusted as safe places, like our schools and our churches, and people like public servants. In our scripture today, Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples to tell them what is expected after he's gone and until he comes again. And he tells them something in this section that hasn't ever jumped out at me before, but it jumped out at me today. And that is to stand up and raise their heads. What? In the midst of problems and in the midst of fear, the last thing you do is stand up and raise your head. No, you crouch down and you cover your head and you turn and you run, right? But wait, this passage says, stand up, lift your shoulders, lift your head, look to the sky. And I admit to you that in the last 2 years, I've spent more time with my head down than with my head up. The more I watch the news, the more saddened I become. And even with the loss in my personal family in the last 2 years, I've become more and more saddened. And I can feel myself more slumped over, less hope, more fear. A few weeks ago, I was lucky enough to be invited by Becky Dillard to go downtown and see Anne Lamott at a presentation she was doing for book people. And part of the presentation and the event meant you got a signed copy of her new book. It's called Almost Everything, Notes on Hope. These words jumped out at me. She wrote, "Hate weighs me down and muddled my thinking. It isolated me and caused my shoulders to hunch. The opposite of sticking together and lifting our hands and eyes to the sky. The hunch changes our posture because our shoulders slump and it changes our visions. And we scowl and we paw at the ground. So as a radical act, we give up hate and the hunch the best we can, and we square our shoulders and lift our gaze." I don't know that the feeling that I have felt lately I could call hate as much as sadness or fear, but they all lead to the same posture, don't they? Looking down. What really opened my eyes was that phrase again, that my shoulders slumped over, it changes my vision. And I'm only looking at darkness, at more sorrow. It isn't until I look up and feel God's light inside me that I have the hope to hold my light up and share that light with others. If my head is down, my shoulders are slumped, my light is not available. To find hope in this world, much less to share it with others. I was reminded of one of my favorite poems of all times in a children's book called When the Aardvark Parked on the Ark. It's written by Calvin Miller, and the poem is called Leonardo Lobster, and I want to read it to you. It was senseless, but Leonardo kept charging the cage. He was caught in a trap, and he swam in a rage. He knew he was done for and soon would be dead when he suddenly thought what his father once said. If ever you enter a trap, Leonardo, you don't have to find yourself stewed, baked, and dead. You can't fight the trap, my two-pincered son, by charging the still that lies out ahead. Leonardo grew calm and quit charging ahead. His BB-like eyes raised up from his head, and he looked at the floor of his trap for a door and could clearly see there was none. But as he swam up to the top of his cell, he found the small window through which he fell. He swam swiftly up and rid of his cage. He soon found himself outside of his cage. The reason all lobsters wind up in pails with elegant people eating their tails is that they don't try enough different ways to escape from the prisons of men. It does little good when you know you are caught, to keep charging at walls again and again. Leonardo became a great liberator. He moved through the traps and swam without fear. Whenever he saw a brother entrapped, he was careful but unafraid to swim near. "Look up, look up," he would cry through the gloom, "or this trap where you struggle will soon be your tomb." The reason all lobsters wind up in pails with elegant people eating their tails is that they don't try enough different ways to escape from the prisons of men. It does little good when you know you are caught to keep charging at walls again and again. Look up, look up, look up. What a great lesson. What a great lesson for us as children of God, that hope comes when we find ourselves ready to stand up and hold our shoulders back and raise our head and look up at the light of God. It does us no good to keep charging ahead with our heads down. A few weeks ago in children's Sunday school, as I was talking about church, one very thoughtful child, Morgan Mitchell, told me in Sunday school that when she comes to church, she finds hope. That's what we're called to do for one another. We come to this time together. We come into the world carrying our light to shine the light of hope. In the words of today's gospel, we are invited to set aside our discouragement, our fear, our anger, our hatred, all born of self-righteousness, and to stand up and to raise our heads. May you find the hope within yourself to do just that. Look up, look up, look up. When we come to this table, it is one of the brightest lights in our lives. The knowledge that God sent His Son into this world so that we might have life, and so that we might have it abundantly. And this table is a table of abundance. All it takes is your willingness to hold your head up and to come and receive the gift given freely for us. I invite those who are going to serve to come forward. On that night, as Jesus sat with his disciples, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. When you take of it, do so in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup and he blessed it. He said, "This is a new covenant. This is the cup of love and forgiveness."